Morning. I'd like to welcome you back to another edition of our Anchored in the Word Morning Reflection, and today is a really big day. It's the final day of 2020. It's a day that probably a lot of people have been looking forward to, and so this passage is a really interesting passage for us to be looking at on the last day of 2020 and now looking forward to a new year. So the passage we're in is Luke chapter 3, and we are looking at verses 7 through 9 together. So I'd like to ask you to take your Bibles and let's look together at this passage of Scripture. It says this, "Then said he," that's John, "to the multitudes that came forth to be baptized of him, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth, therefore, fruit worthy of repentance, and begin not to say within yourselves, We have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the tree. Every tree, therefore, which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire." Now, yesterday we talked about the fact that John had an interesting ministry. His ministry was to prepare the way for the Messiah. Today we're going to look at a little bit of the content of John's message. What exactly was John preaching as he was preparing the way for the Messiah? Well, I'll summarize it this way. John's message was meant to teach us not to treat the patience of God and the mercy of God lightly, because we're not entitled to an extension of his mercy. And that's really what he was preaching to the nation. They were a nation that had received tremendous blessings from God. God had been very merciful. He had worked personally in the lives of people within that nation for generations. And God had made promises to the nation through Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, all the way up till the point that they're living. But one of the things that was a huge problem in Israel at that time was a spiritual complacency, a self-trust, following the rules of Judaism, but ignoring the heart and soul of the message that the Messiah is coming to redeem his people from their sins. And so John is preaching a message that's stirring up the fallow ground within the nation and telling people, look, you need to take seriously your own sin, the brokenness of the nation, and you need to take seriously the message of the Messiah coming. Well, the truth is, what John was preaching is a message that we need to hear regularly. It's a message that we need preached in our own nation. It's a message that we need to be confronted with personally today as we think about the year we've lived through and the year that we're getting ready to walk into. And so let me give you two very simple takeaways from the passage that really expounds to us what John was preaching as he was preparing the way for the Messiah. The first takeaway from this passage is that God wants genuine repentance and genuine change, not just outward conformity to rules and not just superficial following of religious practices. Maybe a simple way to put it is God's a lot more concerned about what's going on in your heart than the way that you look when you walk through the church doors or the fact that you're actually showing up and sitting in the pew. God wants you to be a person who is really affected by the gospel, who's really growing into Christ-likeness. He really cares that your heart, not just the rules that you follow, is what's really healthy. And so in verses 7 through 8, he puts it like this. "Then said he to the multitudes that came forth to be baptized of him, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth, therefore, fruits worthy of repentance." Now, some people might say, well, you would assume that everybody that was coming to be baptized was genuine in their reason to come. You would assume that these people were willing to be baptized and publicly confess that they believed in the message because that's what was really going on in their hearts. But John understood that within that multitude, there were some who were genuinely confessing, yes, I'm a broken person and I need Messiah, and I want our nation to prepare for the Messiah, while there were others who were simply doing it as a show. It was a religious ritual for them. There was nothing going on in their heart that had actually changed, and there was nothing that was going to change in their life in the years that followed their baptism of John at Jordan. And so John is confronting them and saying, listen, if you're here to be baptized, you better be for real. That's the point that he's making. And so I'll put it this way. Repentance is about an internal change. And so when John is preaching about repentance, he's saying your heart needs to change. And what we realize about a heart that is changed is that the heart is really the source of everything that we do in life. In other words, if a person has truly repented in areas of their thinking, then the way that they live is going to change in relation to the change that's taken on internally. That means that their language is going to change. The way that they walk is going to change. The way that they treat people is going to change. Their connection to certain practices is going to change. In other words, their life is going to bear evidence, bear fruit of real change within the heart. And so John is basically saying repentance is not real if repentance doesn't actually change. And the change is not the repentance. The change is the evidence. The change is the demonstration of what takes place in the heart. We could put it like this. John understood that God wants more than lip service. He wants more than a willingness to conform to external practices. God wants the heart to be conformed to his ways. He wants genuine internal change that produces sustained conformity to his righteous character. He wants the Christian to be growing internally so that his life is becoming more and more conformed to the image of Christ. And so John is preaching, saying, listen, you're coming to be baptized. There better be real change going on in you if this is what you're going to do. Because getting wet isn't going to change anything for you. It's what's going on inside. And so that reminds me of what Samuel said to Saul when Saul basically disobeyed God and chose to take animals and sacrifice them to God in disobedience to him. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, basically he says this, does the Lord have as great delight in burnt offering and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, to hearken than the fat of rams. So God wants our heart. He wants real change that is produced by a real change in the heart. The second takeaway from the passage in front of us is that we should never presume against God's patience or his mercy. In verses 8 and 9, he makes this statement. He says, begin not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham for our father. I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the tree. Every tree, therefore, which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Basically, what he's telling the nation is, listen, God has been patient for you, with you for lots of generations, and you have resisted and rebelled against all of the prophets who have come before me and have called you nationally and individually to repentance, who have pointed you to the Messiah. And there's coming a point where your complacency is going to catch up with you. And there's coming a point where God's mercy and his patience is going to end. And at some point, he's going to cut the tree down because the tree has not produced genuine fruit that demonstrates real change. He's using a sort of a parable here to talk about how God deals with people. Truth is, God's really patient with people. God is a very loving and merciful God. The truth is, he gives us a lot of time to turn to him and to trust him and to walk with him and take him seriously. God brings all kinds of circumstances into our lives to try to get our attention. And God does it because he loves us and he's patient. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He's long-suffering to usward. That's what the Bible teaches. But the Bible also teaches that God is just and he's holy and he's righteous. And there comes a point where God's mercy will end, where God's patience and his long-suffering care will end. And God will be forced to deal with us in justice and in righteousness. In other words, we should be so cautious we don't presume against the mercy of God. One of the most foolish things a person could ever do is when God is working in their life to get their attention, rebuking them because of the things that they're doing, because of their unwillingness to submit to his ways, to ignore that and to assume that God will just continue to do that indefinitely. There comes a point where God says enough is enough. And so human nature has a tendency to assume things will stay as they are, but they don't. We have a tendency to put our trust in the wrong places. God's patience is not something we're entitled to. The fact that God's patient doesn't mean that he's obligated to be patient with me forever. He's not obligated. It's not an entitlement. The reason we call it grace is because God is giving us undeserved favor. The fact is, God is being patient with us, and we shouldn't presume upon that. When God is working in our lives, confronting our sin, pressing our consciences, we are fools if we ignore his convicting work. God is patient, but he's also just. In fact, it reminds me of what Paul writes in Romans chapter 2. He says, "We are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against those who commit such things." He says, "Thinkest thou this, O man, that judgeth them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despiseth thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? But after thy hardness and impenitent heart treasurest up for thyself wrath against the day of wrath, and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds." Basically, what Paul is saying is when you have God showing you patience and you ignore it and you presume upon that mercy, then you are actually treasuring up for yourself a greater judgment than had you not been offered that mercy and that patience from God. Don't presume against God's mercies. So how can we practically apply this as we think about the year we've walked through and the year we're about to start? Let me share with you a couple of things that I jotted down today that I hope will challenge you and encourage you. The first is this: 2020 has been a very tough year, but more than anything, it's a year that God is using to show mercy on people. You say mercy? How could you say that God is showing us mercy in 2020, which has been a disastrous year? Well, it's God's way of saying, listen, you need to get your priorities back in track. You need to realize that you are a fallible person. You need to realize that you're a person that is fragile and will not live forever. You're a person that needs to put God first instead of yourself and this world system first. What God has done is he's reminded us of how fragile we are and how fragile life really is. He's reminded us that the systems of this world are passing away. He's reminding us that one day we're going to meet God. Even though it's been a harsh year, it's been a year that God has used, and I know this for a fact, he's used it to get the attention of many people. And my question is he using it to get your attention? Have you listened to what he's trying to show you? Have you seen your own fragility? Have you seen the fact that you are not an immortal, but you will stand before God one day? Have you seen that the things of this world really don't have a lot to offer you? Have you seen that, in fact, God and eternity are the most significant and important factors in our lives? God in his patience and God in his mercy has actually allowed us to go through tremendous difficulty this year so that he can draw us to himself. It's so that we would abandon mistrust in places where it shouldn't be. It's so that we could abandon this self-centeredness and this self-trust, and we could turn to him and allow him to restore to their proper places the priorities that we need in life. This is a call to the non-Christian. Maybe you've never trusted Christ as your Savior. Maybe you've not taken seriously the gospel. The fact is, God is using this year to humble you and to show you of your need to turn to him in repentance and to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and what he's done for you. For the Christian, it may be that this year you have backslidden, or maybe it's not just this year, maybe it's been a season of years where you've really not been walking with the Lord like you should. And I want to encourage you, do not presume against the patience and the mercy of God. Now is the time to get back where you need to be. Now is the time to take seriously God and his ways. Now is the time to walk in the light of a fellowship with him that he wants you to have and that really provides for you the fullest joy that you could ever experience on this side of eternity. I want to encourage you through this passage to not presume against the goodness of God, because it's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. And it's the goodness of God that enables us to be in a position that we can actually live life to its fullest in the presence of God. I hope this has been a challenge to you. This is our final study for the year of 2020. And so, Lord willing, the next time we come back together and we continue our Luke study, we'll be in a new year. And we look forward to God's rich blessings this year, of God's sustaining grace and strength this year, and of us growing closer and closer in our walk with him. I hope that you have a great rest of your day. Let's bow together for prayer and just ask the Lord to help us to internalize and live in the light of these things. Father, thank you for the opportunity to study this text of Scripture. Challenge us through it. Help us to be convicted if that's necessary. Help us to be burdened for those who are not taking you and your way seriously. Father, help us to walk with you and to be more and more conformed into the image of your Son. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Well, I hope that you have a great rest of your year, and Lord willing, we will meet again next year. Bye now.